Here we go!
To the video game show on URN.
Hello everybody, it is Saturday, it's 2 o'clock, and it is the video game show on URN. I am your host for the week, Mark, our regular host Henry. He's not very well at the moment, so you know, thinking good thoughts about him, but he's not here. I'm sitting here with the mic checker, the mic wrecker, it's Jack. How you doing, Jack?
Yeah, not too bad today, thanks.
Then I'm sitting here with, and this is going to be a pretty tight segue, I think I'd appreciate it, it's the biggest I've ever seen, it's the biggest anyone's ever seen, it's Dylan. How you doing, man?
I'm good, how are you?
Can you explain that segue to everybody, and we can jump straight into our first news story?
I can indeed. What is it? It's the Covenant ship comes in the first Halo. Cortana says to Master Chief, "It's the biggest I've ever seen. It's the biggest anybody's ever seen." And a pretty tight segue, because it is the 15th anniversary, or was a few days ago.
Yeah, I believe on Tuesday, it was the 15th anniversary of the Microsoft Xbox and Halo Combat Evolved. So I think we'll have a couple of minutes. Let's all talk about what Halo means to us. I know you love Halo.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Halo. Jack, I've played a lot of Halo with you as well.
Yeah, I'm a massive fan. I mean, we did sort of mess it up when we sat down and played the remastered version. We didn't realise that you actually had to engage the remastered bit of it. And then we started playing through, what was it, Halo 1 and 2 in just really, really bad graphics.
Yeah,
and
I think...
We finished Halo 1 and then we jumped back up and we're like, wait a minute, surely there's got to be a way, because that didn't look remastered. And when we sat down, we found the option and then we remastered it. Played it and it looked absolutely stunning. Yeah, so that's something that we'll definitely have to go through and maybe do again.
Because I think an Xbox got moved and put into a new TV and it didn't quite register the new TV was in HD. So we played through all of Halo Anniversary Edition in HD in 480p, I believe, as opposed to 1080.
Something like that. Yeah.
And yeah, there were several points where we were switching between the remaster and the original, going, "This remaster doesn't look very good, you know. This looks pretty bad, actually."
We very nearly did the same thing, didn't we? We went to do a marathon and
And
you told me that story before we started. We were like halfway into the first mission, like, "This doesn't..." Oh, wait, yeah, we've done the exact same
thing. And switched the projector from 720p to 1080p and go, But yeah, so, let's talk about Halo. Like, Halo came out 15 years ago.
Which is ridiculous. That's...
Yeah.
We're so old now.
Yeah, like when you talk about Halo, I remember playing Halo when I was a little kid, you know, when I was like, what was it, 7 years old?
So, six, 7 years old, yeah.
It's an absolutely amazing game, and it's still going strong as well.
Yeah, like it's still a fun game to play. Like, you can sit down right now and you can turn on Halo Combat Evolved or the Anniversary Edition or the Master Chief Collection and you can play that first game and it still holds up. It's a strange video game. It does a lot of things that you wouldn't usually do in a first-person shooter these days. But
I think that's why it sort of really pushed everything, because that was the first... That was what brought it to consoles, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Halo,
like...
And I guess that's why it was quite innovative in its...
Yeah, like, it was that first real... Like, really effective first-person shooter for consoles. Like, you know, we had GoldenEye...
Thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had GoldenEye and Perfect Dark and stuff, but... GoldenEye and Perfect Dark don't hold up as video games. I'm just putting it out there now. Controversial, I know, but it's true.
Oh, well, I agree with you. I never played GoldenEye as a kid, so when people go back to it for the nostalgia, obviously they're loving it because it reminds you of that. But I always don't enjoy it that much because it's a funnish game, but it's kind of like I don't have the same memories with it as everybody else does. But I know
you give me an original Xbox and one of those big Dukes and a little like a 15-inch CRT, we'll play Halo 1 all day. Some 4-player multiplayer, like that was...
Man.
That was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, me and my brother, that's just what we did a lot. We played a lot of Halo together, and it was just lovely.
Do you want to explain, for our listeners who don't know Halo, what Halo is and what the library is? Do you want to quickly explain
of course,
it?
Yeah, so we jumped in. So Halo was a release game for the Microsoft Xbox that came out in 2001. It is a first-person shooter set in, what, is it like 2552, that's pretty future right there.
Yep.
And you play as... Master Chief Petty Officer John 117?
Yeah.
Have I nailed that?
You've nailed it, yeah.
Master Chief Petty Officer John 117, known as the Master Chief to his friends, and you are part of humanity's last-ditch effort to defeat a superior alien force known as the Covenant, and you end up discovering a giant alien structure called the Halo, and you go onto the Halo, and you fight aliens. And it's rad, isn't it? Like... It's everything in it is super powerful, and like the jump's really high, and the basic pistol is like
the best weapon in the game.
Yeah, it's like an incredible long range sniper rifle, and like the assault rifle's got 60 rounds in it, and like comes with 600 in the pocket and stuff, and it's.
After playing Halo 5 for a while, and even all the subsequent Halos really, where it's down to 36 in the assault rifle, when we went back and played Halo 1, and you just walk through the corridors just spraying. You
just
don't have
shooting
to aim.
Forever. Like it's a really, really unique first-person shooter that does a lot of things that hadn't really been... I mean, first-person shooters have been around on PCs for a while before that, but they fit into a mould of being kind of fast-paced, action-y, or real stripped back, and then Halo sort of went, well, actually, no, we're going to have a console game, we're going to have dual analog controls, which works, and we're going to make it almost arcadey, I would say. I would say it has an almost arcadey feel to it.
Because the levels are very... there is a running story, and it's a pretty good one, but the levels are quite separate. You can just sort of do a level and not be too bothered by it.
Yeah, I mean, and we will describe what the library is, because that is one of the worst levels in it. Yep, and the library definitely. Is you move into an alien facility because you have to collect a key, and Halo is known for having giant, beautiful open areas with like really intricate combat design. So you go in, there's a certain number of Covenant, and you can immediately go, these are these enemies and these are these enemies. I've got to pick these guys out. I've got this cover here, I can do this, and there's a beautiful skybox, and it's really, really... Like, it's very well designed, and then you go into the library, which is a giant alien facility, and it's constant repetitive grey corridors full of the same zombies that just run at you.
It's the Flood, isn't it?
Yeah, the Flood. And it's... I mean, I have a desk back home in Ipswich with a foot-shaped hole in it from where I was sitting with my feet up on the desk, and it's so frustrated at Halo, I kicked a hole through the desk. Yeah. So
it is one of those levels that will make you do something like that in any game. If there is a level that is going to make you rage, it is going to be that one.
It's specifically Rocket Flood, isn't it? That's what makes you rage in that level.
Yeah, because like it will just have round a corner which you don't know to take because every corner looks the same and some of them don't go the right way. There'll just be a dude with a rocket launcher who can just kill you in one shot.
Yeah,
but
other
than the library, Halo's pretty great, isn't it? Like, and it was also the 15th anniversary of the Xbox, because Halo was a launch title for the Xbox, and I think maybe the Xbox doesn't hold up as well as Halo.
No.
Controversial opinion? Perhaps?
No, I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, like, it's not the best of those consoles, is it? It's very chunky and a bit ugly, and
and
then it's not gone particularly great places.
Like, had a weird controller as well.
Oh, but it's an iconic controller, isn't it? The Duke. I mean, everybody who's ever used an Xbox knows that controller.
The Duke. I mean, the Duke is... I think it's technically a weapon in a lot of countries.
Yeah, definitely.
For those listeners who don't know, the Duke was the launch controller for the original Xbox, and it was about the size of a shoebox.
Yeah.
With buttons on it. It was a monstrous great thing. And, like, I think it was designed for, like, someone with Slender Man-style fingers. Like,
designed to stop
huge.
You playing an Xbox for more than 20 minutes because you'd get a cramp. As a kid, I couldn't use it because my hands were too small to effectively use that. I had one of, you know, those Mad Catz controllers back when third-party controllers were the thing.
Yeah, when everyone had one because it was cheap and you needed to play two-player with your mates.
Yeah, I had one of those Mad Catz Turbo ones that were tiny and perfect for my little child hands.
Because it only had one set of shoulder buttons, well, didn't it? It didn't have the R1, R2, or the bumper trigger setup.
But it had the white and black button.
Coming up next, we're going to be talking a bit about the PS4 Pro. And now, last week we talked about how the PS4 Pro was coming out and it needs to be able to run games better before they add more texture into the game. So, Mark, do you want to just elaborate more about some news that's come out about the PS4 Pro?
Yeah, so we've spoken about this the last few weeks in a row, actually. And so the PS4 Pro's come out, and when it was announced about 6 months ago, Sony made it very, very clear that if a developer was to have a pro mode in their game, which I believe starting in a few weeks' time, every game has to.
Oh, really?
The pro mode has to... The game cannot run worse. So the idea is, like, if you want to put in more lighting effects and you want to improve textures and other stuff, go for it, but it has to at least keep the same frame rate, if not better.
Yeah.
And so everyone was hyped for that, because, you know, like, a lot of games on the PlayStation 4 don't run as well as they should. And so with the idea of a PlayStation 4 coming out that can run games better, awesome. So it came out last Friday? Yeah, last Friday, I believe. And some reports are talking about Digital Foundry. and they've been playing some games on it in the pro mode, and it looks like games
already doing it.
Yeah, it looks like games aren't running better.
Which is, in fact, you mentioned some are running worse, aren't they?
Yeah. So and there's a few pretty, like, so Deus Ex Mankind Divided, which is quite a recent release, has a pro mode, and in the pro mode, they say on average, I believe it's something like 10 frames a second worse frame rate.
Which is awful.
Which, considering that game already runs at 30 frames a second, that's shocking. And, you know, there's obviously, like, there's going to be a bit of, like, a settling process here, because this is technology that's been known for 6 months. So, like, they've had to, in 6 months, go, ooh, how do we make our games work? And so that's sort of understandable. But so we've got Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
Yeah.
Skyrim Special Edition, which is a strange one, because that game is 5 years old.
Yeah. Surely the remastered edition is as much as they can do at this
point. Yeah, like, you'd think at this point, the remaster and then the remaster pro, like, they should know what's going on already. That shouldn't be running worse. And I think, like, I think it's only, like, it stutters more than the PS4 version, and it has some hitches and the frame rate's a little bit worse. But, like, it's not, like, end of the world badness. But it's running worse. And another pretty shocking offender is The Last of Us Remastered.
Which is also pretty...
Yeah, which, like, that game came out in 2013, ago, the remaster was 2014. That's the pro mode of that, they should be able to make that game run better.
Yeah, definitely.
Considering the PlayStation 4 version of it, not pro, runs at 1080p, 60 frames a second.
Yeah.
So if the 1080p version of it on the PS4 Pro is actually running at less than 60 frames a second, that's the problem here, isn't it? Because that's developers are doing exactly what Sony said they shouldn't, and they're going... Well, they've got more power. Let's throw in God rays and specular aberration and other things, and it's not good.
Yeah, that I don't even understand it, because, like, yeah, you can make your game look prettier, but it's not going to look prettier if you can only see every other
frame.
If you're running
along
and then suddenly you're dead because you didn't see the guy appear. Nobody's going to enjoy it just because you can see some extra effects if you can't play it.
Like, I will always take frame rate over, like, graphics every day of the week. Console Wars. So this week on Console Wars,
oh man,
Jack
oh,
no. and Dylan, I haven't been nice to them here.
Oh no.
I've been pretty brutal here. So Jack, I am going to give you 30 seconds to tell me why the Battlefield series is the best series of first-person shooters.
I knew it.
And then I'm going to give you 30 seconds to tell me why the Call of Duty series is the best series of first-person shooters. I'm going to give you... You've got 10 seconds to prepare.
Okay.
Then I'm going to say go. You got 5 seconds. Get some ideas right down your head. Jack. Go.
Well, of course, the Battlefield series in themselves are way better than Call of Duty, because, you know, they've got bullet drop in there. You don't see bullet drop in Call of Duty. Bullet drop makes it a lot more realistic. You've got... you can blow up houses, you know, you can get in a tank, you can blow up the side of a house. You don't have that kind of destruction in Call of Duty. And yeah, you know, the one that they just released, Call of Duty, Battlefield 1, sorry, is absolutely amazing. It's a throwback to World War 1. You get to ride around on horses, you get to jump over tanks on horses, which, again, is insane. You get to go into a train and...
Switch.
Oh, yeah, so basically Call of Duty is obviously one of the best games, far more better than the Battlefield series. Call of Duty, you know, they're going futuristic with it, but, I mean, who doesn't love jump packs? Who doesn't love being able to fly around? Yes, laser guns, again, you know, you never see a laser gun in a Battlefield game. Laser guns are so cool. Flashing lights and everything is absolutely amazing. And, yeah, the Call of Duty, the way that they've done it, Modern Warfare Remastered, I played through the All Gleed Up mission this morning, and it's absolutely amazing. And, yeah, just the whole Call of Duty series and the way they're going with it.
Jack, nice.
That was impressive.
Wow. Yeah, you... Well, you reeled off some facts right there, my friend. That was really something.
That was probably the most, like, tense I've been for a minute in my entire
it's
life.
Stressful, isn't it?
Yeah, well. Oh, well, Dylan.
Oh, no.
You are going to have 30 seconds to tell me why Titanfall...
Oh, no.
...is your favourite first-person shooter series. And then I'm going to give you 30 seconds to tell me why Halo is your favourite first-person shooter series.
How could you do this to me?
Dylan... Go.
Right, so Titanfall, in the midst of
quite a lot of very similar first-person shooters at the moment, has really done something different. You've got a lot of mobility in it, which you're starting to see in Call of Duty, but nowhere near to the level of Titanfall. You've got grappling hooks, you're jumping, running on walls just constantly, pretty much. And then even the campaign itself in the new one, it's doing a lot of things that, while the story's not that great, It's got so many different things in it, so many unique events that you just never really see before and utilise it in such a beautiful way that it's really an incredible game.
Switch.
Halo is innovative. It was like the original FPS on consoles. It wasn't, but that's what it is for me. And the story in it, well, you have the game story and you sort of get into it. It's got so much more to it beyond that. It's got all these books that come with it. And I know that's not game, but that adds to it. That's, I think, what makes Halo so amazing for me is all the lore that comes behind it. And not just, you know, also playing it with your friends and having a brilliant time every time you play it.
And stop.
Well done, mate.
Very nice, guys. Henry would be proud of the pair of you. That was an excellent performance. We've got another game we like to play around these parts called the Hall of Game. And so the Hall of Game, each week what we're going to do is induct some characters into the coveted Hall of Game. We've done our favourite heroes. We brought four people in. We did our favourite villains.
Yeah.
We brought four villains in. This week we are going to do a bit of a strange one. I quite like it. Dylan, you came up with this one, so yeah. Why don't you have the honour of introducing it?
We're going to do our favourite video game royalty. So when I thought of this, I didn't think just specifically royalty, but anything that's got the name, like Prince, King, Princess, yeah. Queen, etc. Obviously, there are also some that are royalty that don't have that name, I guess, which you can use.
Yeah.
But anything that has a sort of monarchical relation to it.
Yeah, we want some sort of the most tenuous link to regality we can find in all of these.
Yeah.
But so, Dylan, as it is your category, who would you like to induct into the Hall of Game this week?
So what sort of inspired this for me, actually? I'm going to go with the Prince of Persia, who is the eponymous prince of these games.
Yeah.
I played Prince of Persia Sands of Time as a kid. My dad had it on his PlayStation. And I never played the ones before, but they were quite old. So.
Yeah, they're pretty old.
And that game is brilliant. I played it all the way through a few times. Pretty
this
stressful.
Is Sands of Time, yeah?
Sands of Time, yeah. So that is, I think it's your dad... goes and sort of ransacks a city, and you go in and you find this dagger, which allows you to mess with time in fun ways, and it allows for a really it's a puzzle game, I guess. Well, yeah, it is. It's a puzzle game, and you're running
puzzle
around.
Puzzle platformer.
That's the one.
And so you need to use this
your control of time in very kind of inventive ways to get through these puzzles. And the character in it is just, he doesn't have a name or anything, but you follow him,
he's
and
just
it's
the
just
the prince, isn't it?
He's the prince. Mm. He's awesome. All the stuff he does in those games, the later games are a bit... I had that one from 2008.
That one was weird.
Not that fun. But I think he deserves to be in it because he's been a prince for a long time and he's brought us a lot of pretty good games.
Jack, do you have a member of royalty prepared for us? Or are you still narrowing it down? Because you've got a couple you want to choose from.
I've got a couple of good ones, but I am going to go with the first one that I did mention to you a couple of days ago. And that is, of course, King from the Tekken series. Now, for those of you guys that don't know, Tekken is probably one of the first fighting games that, you know, was released on console. It's an amazing game. You know, I think there's over 20 characters in each game. They've released about 6 or 7 of them now, maybe even more.
I think they are on Tekken 7 at the moment.
So they've released quite a few of these games, and each year there's this Mexican fighter called King, and essentially he was brought up as an adopted orphan after... You know, he got into a lot of fights when he was younger. He was brought up as an orphan. And then he decided that he was going to change his ways, so he became a priest. And then that's the whole sort of backstory to him. And his life goal is to set up an orphanage for underprivileged kids like himself when he was younger.
What's his defining feature, though, Jack?
So his defining feature, what it is he becomes, like, he's essentially, yeah, he's from Mexico, he's a fighter, and his main defining feature is the fact that he has a tiger sort of mask thing on his head. He's got a tail as well of a tiger, and yeah, it's really only something you'd see in Tekken, and I just think he's an absolutely amazing character. He's been in there since the first Tekken, and yeah, he's probably one of the most bizarre characters I've seen. But you know, when you fight as him, he is pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember playing Tekken Tag Tournament 2 on a PlayStation 2 many, many years ago. When I was quite young, when it just came out, and be like, I want to be the dude with the leopard head, the guy with the leopard head, because that's who King is. Like, King is, I mean, he's a fighting game character, so he's not really the deepest dude, but he's got a leopard head,
which is
is hilarious.
It
I love
just
it.
Insane.
So, the last person I'd like to bring into the Hall of Game is a certain King I'd like to bring in as well, King, known as the King of Red Lions, who is. Character from The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker. So the King of Red Lions, he rescues you early on. You get into some hijinks trying to save your sister. You find yourself in somewhat of a untoward situation, and a boat turns up. A boat with a big lion face on it. A red boat with a big lion face on it. And then the boat starts to talk to you and reveals that he is the King of Red Lions. And then he takes you on your adventure around the world of Wind Waker, and he's your bro, and he looks after you, and he fulfills a Na'vi-like function within that game, much like an Ocarina of Time, where you had Na'vi the fairy who would inform you about what you had to do next and what's going on. The King of Red Lions tells you what to do next. There's not much coming out this week, but something came out yesterday that I think is a pretty significant release. Jack, what came out yesterday?
So it was the latest edition in the Pokemon series. It was Pokemon Sun and Moon was released yesterday.
Yeah, dude. Pokemon Sun and Moon came out.
I'm like, so hyped for that game.
You've got a 2DS, haven't you?
So yeah, I've got a 2DS. I really want to get it, but again, I don't have enough money. Or I have enough money, but I don't have money to be spending on games like Pokemon where I know that I would not get any work done if I sat down and started playing Pokemon at the moment. Because I'm really hyped for this. I know that there's quite a few people around the world who are hyped for this. Obviously, 380 million games have already been sold of the whole Pokemon series, outdoing the likes of Call of Duty and all these other brilliant successes.
People like Pokemon.
I mean, I honestly can't wait to get my hands on it. It's going to be a lot better than Pokemon Go. You know, Pokemon Go, they brought out a new update, or they're going to be releasing a new update soon, but it's absolutely nothing like Pokemon Go. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting
adding more Pokemon into it, adding a new region. Into it, making more Pokemon. I mean,
looks like there's going to be some nice quality of life improvements to the systems in it as well.
Yeah.
And Popplio's pretty cute. He's that seal dog.
He's adorable.
And is it Rowlett? Who's the owl with the bow tie?
Yeah, and Litten is the cat.
I'm into the starters from this generation at least. So it seems like it's a good Pokemon game.
Their evolutions are a bit weird. The final evolution of Litten is like a cat man, basically King from Tekken.
I want to play a game that we haven't got a good name for yet, but. Basically, there aren't any other games coming out next week, but there are a lot of PC games coming out next week.
Yeah.
And PC games, because there are a lot of them and they're pretty cheap, tend to have pretty silly names. So I'm just going to go through the Metacritic list for games coming out next week on the PC, and we're just going to talk about how ridiculous some of these games are, because I think it's brilliant. So we've got the Street Posse Showdown coming out on November 21st, 2016.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, Street Posse Showdown, we all down with that? Yeah, okay, cool. Cyber Chicken.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, that sounds cool.
Okay, we back that.
Yeah, I like
Aquamoto Racing Utopia is coming out on November the 22nd, 2016.
Can't wait.
Yeah?
They just put as many things as they can into that.
On the November 22nd, 2016 is also Japanese School Life. It's a simple name, but I think it really gets across the point, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you know exactly what's going to be happening.
Also coming out, but I don't believe it's relation to it, is A Magical High School Girl. I don't know what that's about. On the same day, we have the hot PC release, Hot Squat.
Is that just you playing as a character squatting?
No, I mean, it hasn't even got an image on Metacritic.
Is it just your player squatting for like as long as you can hold
over
it?
It's like Quop, but for squatting maybe. Who knows? Like we'll have to have a look at some of these, I think, at some point. Coming out on November 23rd is Space Trucker.
That just sounds awesome.
That sounds amazing.
I just want that game.
Yeah, like I'm down for Space Trucker all the way.
I feel like we've spoken about Space Truckers before, but not in relation to that game.
Because it's that Deep Purple song. It's great.
Of course.
Yeah. Day after that, Super Red Hot Hero.
That's also a great name.
It looks to be about a chili who's a superhero.
Does make it better.